It is the Joe Starkey Show, but I am Donnie Football filling in for Joe. Joe's voice a little bit shot at the end of this week, so less than an hour with me, Austin Bechtold, behind the glass. We are now joined by Pirates broadcaster and former Pirates pitcher Bob Walk, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Bob is also brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Make clogged gutters a thing of the past with Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET. Bob, a series this weekend for the Buccos against the Kansas City Royals. Kansas City, a team that last season was not good, but they invested in some pieces in the offseason, and now they are primed for a playoff run. They have currently about a 96% chance to make the postseason out of the American League. They are 80-67, second behind Cleveland in the American League Central. What is it that the Pirates can do to mimic a team like Kansas City going into 2025?
Well, basically, it's the same thing that Kansas City has done. And there's always a couple of organizations that, you know, people look at as, okay, small market, and then they realize they have some young pieces in it that they might not have for a long time in place, and so they add to it to make a push and try to get into the postseason tournament. You know, once you're one of those teams, that's playing in October, well, anybody can get hot and win a championship. So that's the key thing, to get to where you can do that. It looked, like that was going to be a possibility just before the trading deadline. I mean, we were right there. It looked like, we were going to be the same position that Kansas City is in right now. But things went south. There was a number of reasons. The main thing is our bullpen just kind of fell apart for a while, and we started losing quite a few games we should have won. But as far as, the offseason and what they need to do, I think you got to look at the best thing that's happened this year is they've built a starting rotation that's looking really strong going into next year. You look at the what we have in the rotation right now, figure we'll probably go to a traditional five-man rotation. So you have your best pitchers going out there every 5 days, which increases your chances, obviously, to win every night. And then you're going to probably have some depth there. You got a couple of young guys that are looking pretty good. You got Oviedo, who a year before was, considered one of our top two pitchers. Hopefully he'll be back in spring training and pitching like he did before he got hurt. So the prospects for our starting rotation look very good, and we need to look and say, okay, well, where did we fall down at? We could have done better, especially early on with our offense. Of late, the offense is not too bad. In fact, you look at the lineup on certain nights, you got some guys in that lineup that it makes that lineup fairly long. Got some depth to it, to where there's not a lot of spots where the opposing pitcher can say, okay, well, I got a rest area this inning. I think we've gotten away from that, and one or two additions from having maybe one of the better offenses. You think about what Cruz has done this year and having him in there full-time next season. You might be looking at 100 RBIs, 25 to 30 home runs next season from that spot in the lineup. I think that the bullpen needs a hard look at it. It's the same situation with every bullpen every year on every team. You need to make adjustments and things need to be remade. There's always a big turnover in the bullpen. Very few guys down there. Once you get past a closer, is ever on a long-term contract. So you got a lot of turnover. So I think that's the challenge. I think one of the challenges for the offseason is to put together a bullpen that'll be a little bit more consistent than the guys were this year. Obviously, that's easier said than done. In April, or spring training, I think you or any of us would have said, hey, the bullpen looks like it might be a strength this year. Mm-hmm. But it turned out it wasn't.
Would you bring Aroldis Chapman back, or do you think for the likely price tag of a guy going into his age 37 season in 2025, probably not worth it?
Well, I don't know what the price tag's going to be. I know it was rather high this year. I think $10 million.
Yeah, 1 year, $10
million. Right. That's a lot of money for a guy that's not your closer. So it depends on, you know, what other pieces fit together. I mean, how much money do they have to spend to maybe get another really good bat, a bigger bat, if you can do that? You know, that there's some other things that, you know, have to be figured out, I think, before you figure out exactly how much money you can pour into that that bullpen. The bullpen is important, but usually you can find some deals in a bullpen. Getting a middle-of-the-lineup type hitter, those are a little expensive. So that's probably where the most money would be spent, if they can find somebody like that. That's a big if also.
When it comes to starting pitchers and maybe some new faces we could see in 2025, have you looked into any of Bubba Chandler's work in AAA so far?
Well, yeah, I said they got a couple of young guys down there. He's the main one that you would think would be, you know, one of those May, June call-ups next season. You know, wait until you get past whatever day it is to where, that's always a big discussion when you're going to bring up those guys. But, yeah, if there's a spot for him, I mean, right now, if you do go to a five-man rotation and everybody is healthy for next year, there might not even be a spot for him. But I expect him to be in spring training and have kind of an outside shot at going north with the team, a lot like we saw with Jared Jones this year. But if all these guys are staying healthy, we can get through the off season without getting anybody hurt, there's going to be a nice starting rotation bunch. There's going to be a few of them that don't make the team or are going to have to go down and pitch in AAA to stay ready. That's going to be a disappointment for some of those guys, but that's just the way it is. You can't, you can't have all the starters on the team. Some of them have to go down to AAA and keep pitching so that they're ready when they're needed. But that looks like it's going to be the situation. And you're also, it happens every year, every single year, you always bring in a couple of veterans that, coming off injury, coming off a down year, maybe they're getting a little older and the previous team thinks they need to move on. And you always pick up a couple of those guys, hoping that they have something left in the tank. I mean, I think the best, most positive example of that was, of course, going about a decade ago now, where, you know, we picked up Liriano and A.J. Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys had 5-something ERAs the year before, but then they pitched fantastic for us. So you're always hoping you run into one or two of those guys if you can find them. And so there will be, also a couple of veterans that are were somewhere else this year, probably looking to crack into our starting rotation next spring.
Talking to Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, when it comes to Andrew McCutchen, he has certainly expressed his interest in staying in Pittsburgh, finishing his career in Pittsburgh. And in his age 37 season, he made a little bit of history earlier this week. Just the second player besides Willie Stargell to have 8 seasons with the Buccos of 20 or more home runs. I think it's an easy decision. I'm wondering where you come down on it when it comes to bringing Andrew McCutchen back. I think it's a very easy yes. He continues to be one of their most productive offensive players.
Oh, he certainly does. I agree with that. I think it's if you're going to have the DH as another position, like a right fielder or center fielder or shortstop or first baseman, if you're going to look at the DH position like that, when I played, that's how most of the American League teams looked at it. They had a DH that usually was an offensive force that was somewhere in the middle part of the lineup, and that was his position. If the Pirates are going to look at the DH like that, which is kind of how they did this year, I think, pretty obvious, then yeah, that yeah, you bring him back. And also, I mean, they're going to have to figure out the money thing. I mean, how much? I mean, he had a really good year this year, so mm-hmm. You know, he may be looking at getting a decent raise also. So I mean, that's going to have to be talked about. The only thing that I will say is that nowadays teams haven't really looked at that DH spot as a position. They look at it as more of a place where they can, you know, move guys in and out every week, give somebody a rest one day, you know, play the matchup game with whoever their starting pitcher is that day. And the Pirates were doing that for a while too, before Kutch came back and pretty much took over that as an everyday job. So as long as they look at the DH as an everyday position, then I agree with you. Yeah, he's got to come back because he wants to come back. He probably will play here cheaper than he'll play anywhere else, I would think. I'll go with you on that. If the Pirates decide that that's not the way they're going to handle that DH spot, then that changes the decision-making progress a little bit. So that would be the only thing I would wonder about, is how they look at that position on the field and what they want to do with it next year.
How well do you think O'Neill Cruz has transitioned and acclimated to playing center field?
I'm not real impressed with his throwing. I like the way he covers ground. Mm-hmm. That's been the most impressive thing. He makes going side to side and in it look very easy. You know, that he hasn't made, you know, really good throws from the outfield. And if I want to nitpick a little bit, I think there's been some times where he needs to communicate better with his other outfielders on balls that are in the gaps. You know, that's extremely important for a center fielder to be very aggressive and very vocal. And that's his position out there. He's the leader. He's the man. He's got to let those guys know loud and clear, get out of my way, I'm catching this ball. A couple of times I think there's been a little misunderstandings out there, but that will, I would guess, will come with more experience out there. But the throwing stuff, he needs to become more accurate. He's got such a great arm as far as arm strength. If he can get a little more accurate with that, and I mean, well, in some throws, a lot more accurate. I mean, he's missed his spot a few times, you know, by 15, 20 feet wide. He's got to get better. You know, I think that probably comes with some better mechanics. Mechanics in the outfield are different than, you know, than in the infield, you know, where you can, you know, half the time you're throwing off your back foot. The outfield, you really have to get that momentum flowing forward as you're fielding the ball, momentum going right toward the target. That I think he needs to maybe work on that a little bit. But the raw ability is, of course, off the chart there, just like it was at shortstop. And I think that speed and his agility even shows up more in center field than it does in the infield.
Are you glad they got out ahead of this and did it now instead of just making it an off-season project? So it's like he goes into the off-season already knowing the plan?
I think that when it happened, I went on record saying that I was surprised that they made the decision when mm-hmm. they did. I thought that they were going to wait till the end. But if you've already made the decision, to me it's silly to let him play out the year at shortstop if you're going to move him next spring. You know, they say, well, he never played out there before. I don't care. Get him out there and let him start playing. I thought that was a great move. Once they made the decision, you got to get him out there, play him every day, and get him as much experience as you can at being a center fielder, making his mistakes now instead of next April.
There we go. Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk. Bob, thanks for taking the time. Have fun this weekend.
It was a pleasure. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There we go. Bob Walk, you can hear him on the Buccos broadcasts all season long. Only a couple of weeks left in the baseball season. The final weekend in September is when things will wrap up. The Buccos are in the Bronx. They play the Yankees in that final weekend. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Donnie, football in for Joe Starkey, Pony, and Muller coming up next. It is a football Friday. Those guys will have the Friday tailgate party going. It'll be a fun one as the Steelers get set to take on the Denver Broncos. The backyard brawl is tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, a 3:30 kick at Acrisure Stadium, Pitt, and West Virginia. I put out the poll question earlier at the beginning of the show, about 500 votes in. Who do you view as Pitt's biggest rival? The options were WVU, Penn State. I did put Notre Dame on there, and then other. Notre Dame only has 1.2% of the vote, so we came to the conclusion that Notre Dame is just universally hated by everybody, not necessarily just a rival in this case. West Virginia running away with it with 70.5% of the vote. Penn State, 25.6% of the vote. Another Twitter poll I put out there before the show began. Which game are you looking forward to most this weekend, Austin? I put this out to the people. The backyard brawl or Steelers-Broncos? Now, keep in mind, this is Twitter. I don't know if you saw this poll. Where do you think those percentages sit right now?
I'm going to say it's close to 50-50.
Steelers-Broncos with a 55.1 to a 44.9 lead over the backyard brawl.
Steelers are king, man.
They really are.
Not that surprised, but, I mean, this is a circle the calendar game for Pitt every single year when they play West Virginia. So that stadium's going to be packed. What, you think 68 maybe they get? How many thousand people do you think they get in the stadium?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to, whatever capacity is, and then a little bit more, you know, for the standing room. I can't remember the exact figure it was. That game 2 years ago is an all-time record.
That's
for
right.
A sporting event, which that game was awesome to be there in person. That was a really cool atmosphere, and the game was fantastic. It was a standalone. It was a Thursday night to help kick off the college football season. There was definitely more juice around that one.
There was, because it was the return.
That too. It was the first time in over a decade we were seeing it. So now this is the third time already since this rivalry has been back in store for Pitt and West Virginia. The game last night around the NFL, the Bills blowing out the Miami Dolphins 31-10. James Cook went off. He had 3 touchdowns in the first half. The big story, though, coming from that game, Tua Tagovailoa, 3 interceptions. He also suffered another concussion. It was not necessarily a hard hit. If you saw the hit happen, if you didn't, you can easily find it on social media. Quickly, if you just search his name, it was an awkward hit where Tua didn't just slide down to the ground. He went pretty much head on into DeMar Hamlin, and then he went down. You could tell right away on the broadcast there was some concern with Tua. He stayed on the ground for a little bit longer than usual, and we know his history with concussions. That brought up the question today that a lot of people are left trying to answer, and I know that Colin Cowherd opened his show with it. I saw that the tweets left and right. There's a real question now if Tua is pretty much done with his football career. I mean, that is, I think, 4 documented concussions in the last 2 seasons. And it's not like they are, you know, I mean, every concussion is different. How guys react to them can be different. They all look bad. It's not like he took one random hit. He got checked out for it after the game. He was in protocol for a little bit. He got out of it. All of these concussions he has suffered, Austin, have looked brutal. Like, they look violent.
And as soon as I saw the hit and I saw Tua down, that's immediately what I thought. And then I'm pretty sure, didn't his hands clench again?
He did. It wasn't quite as bad as what it
not
was
as bad,
2 years
it was
ago, but
really bad.
That was what I also noticed. Like, he went down and his hands went up, and I'm like, the fencing, they call it.
And you could tell, I mean, the training staff knew immediately what had happened. They bolted out there, and there was a whole convoy of people around them. I was really happy to see him get up as quickly as he did and walk off to the locker room really with no distress or anything. He seemed completely fine a minute later.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and then he stumbled off the field a little bit too, and then he you know, just looked, he just looked like blurry.
Yeah.
You know, like not everything was happening the way it should up there. And it sucks, but I mean, I don't think we are far away from him really having to consider if this is it. Like, I know that Sidney Crosby got brought up into the conversation around here because of his concussions.
Fair.
About 15 years ago. However, even though Crosby had two quick ones back to back, which kept him out for over a year, four, and as violent as they were in a 2-year stretch, I mean, that's tough.
And hockey is obviously a very violent sport, as well as the number of games that they play.
Mm-hmm.
But the hits you take in football are a lot harder, and the collisions.
It's like a car crash.
It is, every single time. I think one more and Tua has to be done. Like, he has to call it himself. And the Dolphins just gave him this big contract. So, I mean, I wonder, if, for the Dolphins, is there any assurances? Because they had to have known before they gave him this deal. Like, just in case this happens again and he has to medically retire, could we get out of this? Or for Tua's case, which is obviously way more important than whatever the contract might be, you're worrying just about his long-term health and his life. Like, if he has another concussion, even this one, what are the lingering effects going to be? I mean, a lot of people have seen the movie Concussion. We know what it was like.
Yep.
It seems like this is something where, and player safety is significantly better than it was in the 70s, but it reminds me of something like that with the way that how hard these hits have been on Tua. This one was, like you said, awkward more so than anything. But the effects and the ramifications have hit him harder than it has any player in X amount of years.
And he's only 26 years old. He was March of 98, so he will be 27 early next offseason. But, man, I mean, we're at a point where you have to, and you brought it up, think about your life down the line. And I don't know if people out there listening or if you ever tune into Good Morning Football. That's something that I'll turn on in the morning. And they had Manti Te'o on there today, who is, you know, somebody from the same part of the world as Tua. You know, they're both guys from Hawaii. And he said on there, I thought Manti Te'o made a great point. You know, this goes beyond the game that you're playing and, you know, what you get paid to do for a living. You have to think down the line, you know, if you have kids, like, you want to see those kids grow up. You want to be able to play with your kids growing up. You want to be able to see your kids graduate. You want to be able to, if you have a daughter, walk her down the aisle one day. Like, you have to keep things like that in the back of your mind when you're somebody that plays such a violent and vicious sport. And I feel like we're sadly really close to what could be the end for a young player who's an exciting player.
Yeah.
Do I think he's among the elites in football? No. But, you know, given who he plays with, definitely an exciting guy. I mean, only a couple of years ago we thought about the tank for Tua thing, and now we're talking about a guy who should maybe consider retiring from football.
This is more of a life and a health story than it is a football story. I mean, really, an X's and O's story, if you will. Because, yeah, Donnie, I worry about that. And we see what happened with Mike Webster and a lot of other players that have significant issues with concussions. I wonder if there's been other plays that Tua has maybe had a concussion and nobody knew about it. And I can think that way for a lot of different players. It's the hard hits are a part of the game, but his body and his mind and his brain are not, unfortunately, able to bounce back as quickly from it. And I feel like it's like if you have a heart condition and like a really bad hit could like significantly affect you. You have to really be concerned and really worried. Like, that's like how worried I was when Alex Smith came back with his reconstructed leg. I mean, that's dangerous. And he came back for what, like a year, and that was it. Sometimes you have to put yourself first over the game, and people will understand.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
All right, limits very quickly. The picks for the backyard brawl and then Steelers Broncos. We'll start with the brawl. West Virginia -1.5. You go first.
I got West Virginia winning this one. I think they bounce back from the week 1 loss to Penn State. They win it in the rivalry matchup.
Screw that, limits. The line has gone down. I am going to take Pitt. They pull it off at home.
I hope they
win game 3.
I hope they do. Don't feel confident.
Steelers, Broncos. Steelers minus 2.5. What's your score?
I got the Pittsburgh Steelers 21-14. They easily cover it.
Steelers 20-7 is going to be my pick, so they easily cover as well. They don't leave us sweating like they always do. All right, Pony and Muller next, the Friday tailgate. Coming up first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. The 24 Silverado 1500 and 1.9% financing up to 3 years with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 84 and sunny. Donnie Football signing off on 93.7 The Fan.